Thank you, worship team. I have to mention that I don't know if you guys realize how much work Clayton has to go through to always match the song so nicely with the sermon, but I'm like, man, he probably buried the lead for me on that one because it's pretty much exactly what I'm going to say. But we'll say it anyway because that's how we work here. So it's just really neat. I just talking about this, I want to start off with an exercise. And so we're going to do a little share time. And so I want to hear about the things that you like. I'm not talking testimonials here, you know, long-winded things. There's a thing I'll trip on. But what do you like? I was thinking about, for me, I enjoy steak. I enjoy lots of steak, large quantities, and that's just one of the things that makes life fantastic. I enjoy sunsets. Sunsets are great. Sunrises are great, too. I don't see many of them, but I hear they're good. But sunsets are beautiful. I love all the different colors in the sky that God puts there. There's like the pink clouds occasionally. There might be like a jet trail. If you can get like just a sunset, it's just gorgeous. I love the view off of the back of our house because you just get to see Harney or I guess Black Elk and all these wonderful colors. I love that. I love mountains. Mountains are just fantastic. Growing up in Williston, we didn't have a lot of them. We got to be excited by the flatness. But then I got to see mountains for the first time and drive through them. And I was driving into like the southern Rocky Mountains by Utah. And I remember thinking, I'm really glad I haven't gotten in an accident yet because I spent most of my time staring out the window like this, trying to see the top of the mountain as I'm driving down the highway, which I'm not bright sometimes, but it is what it is. But that's what I love. So I want to hear from some of you guys. What do you love? What gets you excited? What makes you happy to wake up in the morning? So. Oh, fishing. So we got food over here, Bailey. By the rooster. Oh, rooster. Waking up with the roosters. All right, Kathy?
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren. Grandchildren are fun. Anyone else have things that you like?
Flowers.
Flowers. Flowers are beautiful.
Coffee.
Coffee. Coffee is fantastic. Coffee, I hear, is part of waking up. So, anyone else?
Chocolate.
Chocolate's fantastic.
Leftover pizza.
Leftover pizza. Now, is it microwaved or just pure cold? That's the question. Microwave, okay, I like you more now. But anyone else? Other things we love? Sorry, what?
Ice cream.
Ice cream. Ice cream is fantastic. It is great. Oh, rain. Oh, gentle rain. That's fantastic. Especially if you're trying to go to sleep or take a nap, and it's like, yeah, that's beautiful.
Blueberry pies and ice cream.
Blueberry pies. We got thunderstorms. Anyone else? We got a lot here. We got things that people like. So we're good? All right, well. Cherry pie. Well, blueberry or cherry. If we want, we can start a big debate. I'll throw strawberry in there. But anyway, so there's things that we love, things that we like, things that make life worth living, if you will. But on the other end of the spectrum, there's things that you don't like. For me, I'm pretty much done with sickness. I think I could live without that. That'd be great. I'm also not a huge fan of traffic. Once again, growing up in Williston, traffic jam was 3 cars, and so it was rough, but you could be patient, and you know, you try to get, like, okay, you get to this lane, and you're like, okay, now we're going to go slow, and this lane, and now we're going to go slow, and it just drives me nuts. I could deal without traffic. My son, Evan, if you talk to him, he hates bee stings. I tried to get him to go to the park last week, and I said, do you want to go to the park? He's like, yeah, but I don't want to go to that park where I got stung that one time. Like, we won't go to that one. Never mind, that was like over a year and a half ago, and it was in Williston, so it was 6 hours away. But we weren't going to go to that one because that one had bees, and bee stings, he hates those things. And so now we're going to go to the other end of the spectrum. What could you do without? So more interaction here. We're all over the place. Kathy.
Football and onions.
All right. That is fair. All right. Anyone else? Other things? Tornadoes? Tornadoes. Yes, tornadoes. Anyone else? Oh. Taxes. Can we all agree to that one? I think we're good. All right. Except for those that are accountants in here.
Aches and pains.
Aches and pains, yes.
Peppers.
All right, nice. Okay.
Stubbing your toe.
Stubbing your toe, yes. Or, I mean, we all love Legos, but who likes to, like, step on one? That's just problematic. Yes.
Ketchup.
Fair enough. Smashed tomatoes. It's awful. All right.
Monday mornings.
Yes.
Cancer.
I was going to mention that one. That, I think, bills. We got bills? Yes. So,
cherries.
So, I think the cherry pie people and the cherry people are going to have to get in a fight. But, yes. So, there's things that we could do without. There's things that just aren't a lot of fun. So, with that, I'm going to stick a pin in this conversation, and we're going to go back to the Word. We'll save this for later. But if you want to go Hebrews 9:28, I know that's our message for the day. The bulletin says 23 to 28, but we're really going to focus on 28. That is, Steve did the first four, and I'm doing the last one. And Hebrews 9:28, it's the bridge, if you will, between Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming. You want to pull that up there, Miranda, real quick? The 9:28? I'm going to screw it. And so it says, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." And so for the last, I don't know how many weeks it's been, we've been talking a lot about blood and goats and sheep and sacrifices and how Christ came to, you know, supplant all those and to fulfill and to have a new covenant that didn't require us to kill animals just constantly for our sins, and that he would be the sacrifice for our sins. And that was his first visit to earth and in bodily form. And so that was the purpose of that one. The second one, it says he will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for his return. And so we're going to be focusing on the second coming of Christ and just what exactly that's going to be doing. What does that mean? I mean, that's the resurrection. That's this whole other set of things. And so when I think of Christ's second coming, I mean, where do you find that? I'll give you a hint. It's in Revelation. So we're going to go to Revelation and spend a little bit of time in there and just talk about that. But it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" So that is where you get your... That's the end. That's the exciting... I mean... That's where we're going. That is a place with no pain and no sickness and no sadness. And this fellowship with God where we get to dwell with God and be in his presence constantly. And when I think of dwelling with God, we're kind of on a Bible scavenger hunt, if you will, because we went from Hebrews, then we're going over to Revelation. And now you think about what's the other time that man dwelt with God in a bodily form? All the way back in Genesis. And so we're going to hit the other end of the Bible. And with the way God created the world and started everything, we were intended to be in paradise, in a perfect environment that he made for us. And we got to, Adam and Eve and God got to walk together in the garden and be together and dwell together and just have this relationship that is just intensely personal and just right there. And then you think about, well, the fall happened. And so if we want to see where we could be going, we kind of go back to where we were. And so what changed in the fall? And there's a couple things that changed. If you go back into Genesis 3, I'm not going to read this one, but it talks about after the Lord finds them and he says to them, there's some consequences for the fall. You have... one of the more popular ones, sorry, I'm a little quenched here. You have childbirth. That was not intended to be quite such a painful process. I haven't gone through it myself. I've heard it's bad. But you look at nature, and I don't know if you guys realize this, that there was a baby giraffe that was born yesterday in Denver. So for those of you guys that like giraffes or are watching the webcam of the New York City giraffe, she just got one-upped, and she's still in labor, and there's a Denver baby. And so you can go see the Denver giraffe if you like baby giraffes. But that just happened. And that was like, they didn't even know she was pregnant. It was like, oh, hey, we have another giraffe in the zoo. That's fantastic. I mean, and just imagine if that was how you gave birth, was just, and we got it. I mean, that's the fall there. That's one of the problems. Another thing that we were cursed with was, it says, the Lord told Eve, it says, your desire shall be contrary to your husband, and he shall rule over you. I would say that just speaks to the enmity that we have in our lives. I mean, you look at, people want to be number one. They want to be the person in charge. They want to be the one that all the decisions are revolved around. And yet it goes back and forth. And I think, I mean, in the end of days, when Christ comes back, that will get erased, and we will get to just be together and not have to be quite so selfish, if you will. I mean, and I know, obviously, God came and redeemed us, and so we are able to, you know, be a little less selfish and try to put other people's needs in front of our own, and we can do our best to, you know, try to serve our spouse, and that makes it better. But there's still that little seed inside of us that wants us and wants us first. And so relationships in this world are not what they were supposed to be, if you will. On the other hand, you have what he told Adam. He said, you know, the ground will grow thorns, and you will the sweat of your brow, you will get your bread all the days of your life. I mean, it's who all has had a garden before? Anyone? Anyone had a garden? I mean, there's things that get in the way. There are, there's weeds, there's little pests, there's just drought. There's all these things that can get in the way, and it's like, man, it is not easy to grow food. Can you imagine what it'll be like when it's like, oh, hey, look, there's a cherry. No, we're good. And you just get whatever you want, and it's not like this whole, okay, I've got to make sure that I keep the pests away and keep get the weeding done. Who likes to weed? If you do, I'm sure you can talk to someone else. But so that will be removed, and that will be gone on. I mean, that's just where it goes to. So you look at all these things, and I view this picture of paradise in the garden as that is kind of an example of what we could be looking forward to once Christ comes back, and once it's, you know, he gets to redeem the whole world. And so, I mean, I want to go back to that list. Miranda, do we have the list ready there? So she has all of the things that we didn't like and that we did like, and just kind of put them up there, things we like. I mean, we can go back and forth here. Let's start with actually things we don't like on this part, if that's all right. Sorry, all right, it's fine. You guys all remember what you don't like. It's really hard to forget what you don't like. It's all right there. We'll be good. We'll be fine. I'm just excited to go to heaven and not have the bad things. I'm ready to be done with all the suffering in the world. I mean, I understand that I'm standing up here as a mid-30s man, and there's many of you that have way more aches and pains than I do, but my knees are just ridiculous. They hurt, like, most of the time. This morning, and actually my good knee is turning into my bad knee, which is problematic for me, Now they're both, I'm like, oh, this is just painful. I get, like, up and down. I think I've had, because of my exaggerated height and a number of car accidents, my back is like just constantly in pain. It's just something that I deal with, and it's annoying, and I don't like it, but I'm looking forward to not having that. My shoulder is not really where it's supposed to be. I think of all these things, and it's like, no suffering in heaven. I mean, that's my first thought, but there's so many other things. Jim mentioned cancer, and I think I might be going on a limb here, but I think if we all had to raise our hand, if we knew someone that was close to us, whether it's a friend, a family member, a coworker, I think we all know someone that has had cancer. And I'm really excited to not have that and have that as a part of the equation and just not have to deal with that. There's so many other things. I think about hunger. I mean, there's so many people around the world and just in our country that struggle with hunger and feeding themselves and all that. There's so many, yesterday we had mudslides in Colombia that killed a couple hundred people, and it's just, the world is messed up. that's about all I can say. And you just think about Christ coming back and all those things that are so messed up, they get to be removed. I mean, that song, that I'm going home and I'm talking about no tears. I think about no tears in heaven. This is a little free story, but when I was a seventh grader, I was in band. We played Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton. I don't know if you guys know that song, but the basic gist of it is that, you know, you go up to heaven and there's, you know, no one cries because there's no tears in heaven. And as I look back on that, I was thinking that all of our parents were probably thinking, they were looking forward to that time because they were listening to fifth, sixth, seventh graders play in a band concert. And they were looking forward to no more tears after that. But there's just this, there's this excitement to get rid of the bad. And I understand that because that's what we understand. That's what we get. That's what we want to get rid of. But what I want to almost focus on as well is that all those good things that we do like, those also get redeemed. I don't know if you can wrap your mind around that, but all those things that we like, those aren't even where God wanted them. We're happy with what we have because that's what we know and that's what we're excited about and that's what we have, but they're also fallen. And so they also get to get redeemed. I think about what that's going to be. I think about when I talked about steak, I was thinking about the best steak I've ever had. It was in Hawaii on my honeymoon with my wife. It was 36 ounces. Yeah, it was prime rib. It was gigantic and about yay big. And I ate that, and it was wonderful. And there were so many things about it. I love the sheer size of it because, well, with steak, the bigger the better. I love the flavor. It was fantastic. I love the company. Because, well, it was my wife. And I have to mention this, that she was not the standard caricature of women that is mad at you for way overeating on your honeymoon when we're supposed to be on vacation. She took pictures of me before and after, so that with my plate. And so that's why I know it was about this big, because I still have a picture of me. And then just the cherry on the whole thing, if you guys can get this, I still had hair. And so it was, I mean, that was the best steak I've ever had. And I'm like, what is God going to do to make that better? I mean, I'm a finite individual. I don't have God's incredible, infinite creativity and just powerfulness. I'm like, how do you make that better? I mean, how do you make the gentle rain on the roof as you're falling asleep? How does that change? How does coffee, how does that get better? I mean, I just want to challenge you to think about that. How can God take these things that we've been praising for him for centuries and make them better? Because they're not where he wants them to be. I mean, that's just, it boggles my mind, honestly. Just how amazing our God is and how, what he can do. I mean, we think about the consequences of the fall. It's just neat that he can take all that and redeem them. I mean, I think about, there was a study that was done. I don't know if it was a study or a survey, whatever it was. They'd gone through and they asked a bunch of people, Christians, I believe, were part of this survey, and it was like, if you had 3 days and you knew the world was going to end, what would you do in those 3 days? And the results were primarily, well, skydiving and, you know, these adrenaline-fueled pursuits. And, you know, I want to go see the Great Wall of China, or I want to go, you know, do this or do that. And it was all these things that were just, I mean, exciting, and what we could get out of excitement for what this world has. And I think what it speaks to is the idea that, I mean, I think that we sometimes view heaven as this really boring place. Like you go up there, and they give you your robe, and they give you your halo, and they give you your harp, and then they're like, all right, that's your cloud right over there. And so you can go sit on that and just strum on your harp, and that will be how you spend eternity. Is just kind of, I mean, a little bit boring. I mean, I think about the people that I've heard say things like, yeah, you know, I don't really want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell because that's where all the cool people are. And I was like, really? Do you really get the whole concept of that? I don't have time to unpack the problems of hell logically or theologically, but I'm just going to guess we're not going to be around people, or they're not going to be around, they're not going to be around people, because the whole idea of being around people is inherent, is good. And so, I mean, it's going to be in the darkness and the weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not a good place. Whereas heaven is just perfect relationships and perfect community with each other, and having the perfect God there with you, and all these things that are, and the chains are broken. I mean, we've had so many visualizations in the songs from today about how amazing heaven's going to be. And so, I mean, just thinking about that, it blows my mind. And so, I mean, I'll admit there's times that I have a hard time with the concept of Christ coming back, because, I mean, there's part of me that's like, I don't want to miss things. I don't want to miss, you know, having grandkids. I'd like to have Eric Ward Kosher II at some point. Have Ethan have him. It'll work. I'll pay him. But there's things. I mean, I want to see. I want to see my kids get married. I want to see. I want to see the Vikings win a Super Bowl again. But there's things that I would like to see in this world that I worry about, and I think, well, but if can you wait a little bit longer? I have some really fun things here, and it's just, and then I look at myself, I'm like, you idiot. I mean, yes, I might not see the Vikings win the Super Bowl, but who knows? Maybe up there they win it every year. I mean, it could happen. I mean, and so there's all these things that we have that we can look forward to, and I think we sometimes forget this, and we stop being expectant for Christ's return, and we start just living our day-to-day life as if this is it. And we don't have anything to look forward to. And yeah, we'll go to heaven, but you know, we'll miss all this. This is so neat here. And so I just want to think about that and how that affects just having the next life at the forefront. And if you haven't made that decision to make Christ the Lord of your life and to have him be, you know, the reason for being, I mean, there's no better time than now. And if you have, I mean, I've harped on this over and over again, but you probably know somebody that doesn't. And so they won't have the whole redeemed world to look forward to where everything's amazing and all of the things that we hate here are gone. pull one of these out again here. Easter's coming, 2 weeks. And I know, I mean, I think I mentioned this around Christmas time, but Easter and Christmas, the two times that people are most likely to say yes to coming to church. And so if there's someone that you're like, man, I really want to get this guy to come, but he just, you know, doesn't seem like he might want to, this is like the lowest threshold for people to be willing to come to church. It's just like, yeah, it's Easter, you know, I can do that, you know, that'll be fun. And so, I mean, I just get that next step going with these people. It could be inviting them to church. It could be simply having a conversation about the fact that you're a Christian. I mean, there's, I was talking to a gentleman that was at a, that they were at work and they realized, oh, we do know each other. We are both Christians. And it's like sometimes in our society, we don't take the time to slow down enough to let people know that we're saved. I mean, I'm not saying you have to wear a sticker, but it should be a part of your life to where you can be like, you know what? You know, the God I serve, you know, he loves you. He cares for you. He wants relationship with you. And so I just encourage you to continue sharing Christ with the people around us. I mean, we need to be bold, and I think we have just expectant and just encouraged by the fact that this isn't it. And the fact that we can't even imagine what is going to come in the next life is just incredibly encouraging to me. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. I thank you for this chance to be together. I thank you for your second coming, that whenever that might be, I pray that you would come and renew the world and redeem the world to the way that you wanted it to be in the very beginning, Lord. I pray that you'd be with us as we attempt to bring people with us to heaven. I pray that it would be, give us boldness, give us clarity, and just give us the love for others that's needed in order to put ourselves out there and to witness to others. I pray for the Easter services that are upcoming in 2 weeks. I pray that you would lay people on our hearts to invite to that service, and that you would give us grace and tenacity and all the things that we need to get out of our comfort zone and invite someone else to church. I thank you for being our God, being our Savior, and being just an amazingly creative, wonderful God that can do so much more than we ever can imagine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.